Today on Real Radio.
And when this moment happens, the dead are going to be raised, and we who are alive will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. You've got to define that event, and if you do, it will bring you right to the hope of the rapture of the church. May the Lord Jesus come for us today. May we hear a trumpet today. He said, well, Pastor, I'm not ready. Well, you better get ready. You need to get ready. I can't get you ready. Your mama can't get you ready. Your daddy can't buy it. Your daughter, your son cannot get you ready. That's something that each of us as individuals must decide on our own. We are going to follow God now. I tell you, if you're not a Christian this morning, what in the world are you waiting for?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his fascinating study through the book of Revelation. We begin chapter 4, where John begins to experience a fascinating series of visions, a sneak preview of that which is to come. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called When the Saints Go Marching In.
John says, I saw a door open up in heaven. And then I heard something. And what I heard was the invitation, come up here. And I mentioned the word invitation almost with my tongue in cheek. It sounds like, like it's an option. You want to come up or not? You want to come? Oh, come on up. Oh, no, it is a strong military command. It pertains to the Christian who, listen, the Holy Spirit residing in, when that command is given, the Holy Spirit will obey the command of Christ, and you're going up. The Holy Spirit resides in you. You will be deposited into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Jonah was spit up on the coast of the Mediterranean. The Holy Spirit will see to it. That's his job. You know, Jesus lived 33 and a quarter years here on earth, and then he went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, who's been here for 2,000 years, in our lives and around us, and convicting the world, says the Bible. John says, I saw a door open. Mark down these verses, if you would. Listen to the urgency of this. As I said, it's a military command. Come up here. Revelation 2, verse 5. Revelation 2, 5. Behold, I come to you quickly. That's an urgent statement. Revelation 2, 16. Behold, I will come to you quickly. That's an urgent statement too. Revelation 3, 3. Behold, if you do not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. That's serious. Notice the urgency that Christ speaks. Revelation 3:11, behold, I am coming quickly. That's even more urgent as we go along in the Bible. He's warning and warning and encouraging for us to be ready. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not only coming, but to a rebellious, dead church of the Laodiceans, the Bible says Jesus is knocking on the door, trying to get into that church. How pathetic is that? That Christ couldn't even get into one of his churches. Urgency regarding this coming, regarding this presence. Now the announcement is given to John, come up here. Wouldn't it be awesome today if we heard that? We start hearing a trumpet. That's a pathetic thing, but... You know, Dan was wailing on that saxophone this morning. I love that sound. I just love that. Why? Because you know what? I'm thinking about that. In fact, he's playing the saxophone. I put my hands up. Why? Because you know what? Heaven, there's horns in heaven. There's announcements. There's praises. There's worship. There's angels bowing down saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The 24 elders are casting their crowns before the Lord, falling on their faces, praising God. And we sit here, well, I don't know. Well, when's the service going to get over? It's just starting. No, don't say that. I'm going to confess. I'm going to make a confession. Went Friday night to see Lord of the Rings. I love Lord of the Rings. I love it. J.R.R. Tolkien was a Christian. It's all about his view of World War I, which he was a soldier in. And C.S. Lewis read Tolkien's writings of the Lord of the Rings, and C.S. Lewis came to know Jesus Christ from that book. I don't know how that could happen, but if you're C.S. Lewis, you saw things differently anyway. But J.R.R. Tolkien, tremendous thing, and he equated the World War I and all of the empires warring against each other. He concluded that the demonic powers behind these nations are driven by satanic powers and evils. And you know, that movie was 3 hours and 30 minutes long. And during that period of time, I saw two people get up and move, and they quickly came back as fast as they could. And we come to church, you know what? If we're going to be biblical, this service ought to just go on and on until we hear the trumpet blast. And believe me, you know I could. But listen, we need to get our perspectives right, man. You know what? For those of you who just, you know, church is like a little thing, you put the coin in and you get the little monkey comes out or whatever your thing. And you know what? This is not the place. We want to know what God's word says. We want to worship him. And you know what? When the service comes to a conclusion, it's like, oh man, I can't wait for Wednesday night, or I can't wait for this next service, or I can't wait for the other thing, you know? Because we live in this world day in and day out, but man, we get to come together corporately. And in heaven, we're going to be together corporately, and we're going to be worshiping. And if you don't like to worship God now, then quite frankly, my friend, you ain't going to enjoy heaven at all. You'll be the one in the corner going, I don't know. No, really, you won't be there, probably, because if you know him, you got to worship him, you know? A door standing open heaven, and the voice, the first voice which I heard was like that of a trumpet speaking to me. What are the three key things that we as Bible students need to keep in mind about the rapture of the church? Number one, jot it down. There's an association with a door. With a door. John 10, verse 9. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. So there's an association with the church regarding the door. There's an association with the door regarding the rapture. Revelation 3:8, Jesus said, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you a what? Open door. Isn't that interesting? Revelation 3:20, I read it a moment ago. I stand at the door and knock. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Your dead shall live together with my dead body, they shall arise. That's resurrection. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. That's the group of the church that died believing in Christ. We'll hear more about that in a moment. For your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth will cast out the dead. That's the rapture. Those who have died in Jesus, their bodies will be resurrected. And the graves, the Bible tells us, apparently somehow will be opened. And the dead in Christ will rise. Come, my people, a voice. Enter your chambers and shut the, what? Doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment. And you might want to ask the question, well, where did his people go to shut the door? That's a smart question. The answer is coming up in Isaiah chapter 26 right here. Shut the doors behind you and hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. Why? Why? What's going on? Verse 21, for behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish all the inhabitants of the earth for their sin. The earth will no more disclose, or will, excuse me, disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. Where is his people? Are they on the earth? No. Isaiah tells us that there's a time coming when there's going to be a voice shouted, and even the people whose bodies were dead on the ground had believed in God, their bodies are going to be resurrected, and those that are about to that time, the whole thing's going to take place like dew in the morning, like dew is on an herb, it's just going to, or on a grass, it's just going to rise up, and the earth's going to cast out the dead. Those who believed in Christ and died, Paul's going to teach us. And the truth is, there's going to be a set of doors they're going to go through. The doors will be shut, according to Isaiah. And then God says, all right, here it comes. And I'm going to pour out my indignation upon the earth, upon all those who dwell upon the earth for their iniquity. That's amazing. Isaiah speaks of it as well. A door. Number two, another aspect regarding or characteristic of the rapture and how it relates to the church is a voice. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout." Sounds like Isaiah, doesn't it? "With the voice of the archangel." I don't know what the voice of the archangel sounds like, but it must be truly awesome. A voice. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," John says, "and I heard behind me a loud voice saying, 'I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last.'" A voice. Third aspect, or third characteristic regarding the rapture in the church, is a trumpet. A door, a voice, a trumpet. As I read a moment ago, 1 Thessalonians 14:16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise." 1 Corinthians 15:52. Paul's trying to describe, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 15:52, he's trying to describe the details of the rapture of the church. And if you don't think it applies to the rapture of the church, you're going to do some Bible twisting and some manipulation on human effort to try to get this to work. It only works in the rapture. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 15:52, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." That's important to know. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, and we shall be metamorpho." We shall be metamorphosed. We shall be changed. How long will that change process take place for those who are alive? Anybody? A twinkling of an eye, known to be 18 thousandths of a second. I don't know, you know, I guess you would measure that with some sort of optical photometer or whatever. 18 thousandths of a second is the human recording of that. The twinkling of an eye. Well, the scripture makes it very clear. There's going to be dead people. That is, their bodies are dead, but their spirits are with the Lord. And when this moment happens, the dead are going to be raised, and we who are alive will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. You've got to define that event, and if you do, it will bring you right to the hope of the rapture of the church. May the Lord Jesus come for us today. May we hear a trumpet today. He said, "Well, Pastor, I'm not ready." Well, you better get ready. You need to get ready. I can't get you ready. Your mama can't get you ready. Your daddy can't buy it. Your daughter, your son cannot get you ready. That's something that each of us as individuals must decide on our own. We are going to follow God now. I tell you, if you're not a Christian this morning, what in the world are you waiting for? You know, I love this time of the season. And if you have a Christmas tree there in your house, you ought to dive underneath that Christmas tree, put a big bow on your forehead and say, "Jesus, here I am." Present yourself to him as a gift. He's given himself as a gift to you. Very important. A trumpet saying to me, "Come up here." There's no other biblical event that is defined or ascribed in Scripture as the rapture. When the word is said, "Come up here," this military command. Listen to this. For most of you already know this word. It's already come out of your lips, probably, or it's in your head. Harpazo. Harpazo. Sounds so warm and affectionate. Harpazo means to seize violently. Some of your Bibles might use the word to snatch away quickly. That's a good definition of it. It means to seize. It means to catch up, means to pluck, means to pull violently by force out of a scene. It also is used with if a lamb is wandering to danger, like if a lamb is wandering over to a swift-moving river or stream, the shepherd would take his shepherd's hook, you know, the staff, the hook, and he would grab that sheep by any part of the body and jerk that lamb away from danger and from harm. Harpazo, come up here. This word is found in various scriptures. You might want to jot it down. 2 Corinthians 12:2, Paul speaking about himself when he was stoned to death. That's not on drugs, by the way. He was stoned to death. They were killing him for his witness, and they stoned him. And Paul, I believe, is speaking of himself in 2 Corinthians 12:2. "I know a man," he said, "in Christ of 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven of God." Harpazo. When this happened, I was violently removed into the presence of the Lord. He uses the word. And the trumpet says, come up here. 2 Corinthians 12:4 says how he was caught up, there's that word, into paradise. And he heard inexpressible words which are not lawful for a human to utter. Paul saw heaven. And the trumpet says, come up here. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Paul writes again, then we who are alive and remain shall be harpazo, caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And the trumpet says here, come up here. Isn't that a great word? Revelation 12:5. Regarding Israel, it says, Israel, she born a male child, that's Jesus, who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron, and her child was harpazo, caught up to God and to his throne, taken into heaven. And again, remember Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20, come, my people. That word in Hebrew, because the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, that word in Hebrew is Yahlak, and it means to be carried away violently, to be led out in a departure, to exodus, to leave, to vanish quickly. It is the Hebrew equivalent to this word in the Greek, caught up. How exciting is that? Are you excited? Anybody? I hope you're excited. I'm excited. Why? Here's the best verse of all. It's my little life verse. Titus 2:13. You can't get better than this. Looking for the blessed hope. That means you're supposed to be scanning the horizon for the blessed hope. Well, what's the blessed hope? Oh, that you have to go through the great tribulation period, deal with the Antichrist, keep dodging everybody who's trying to put a mark on your right hand or your forehead. You can't buy or sell, so you probably starve to death. Or because if you've lived long enough and you've dodged the mark, you're going to get captured, according to the book of Revelation, and your head's going to get cut off because you love Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. It says all those who do not receive the mark. It says all of those who do not receive the mark of the beast, nor the number of his name, are beheaded for their testimony and their faith in Christ. Wow. When does that happen? During the tribulation period. Could that be your blessed hope?
Oh boy.
No, your blessed hope is that Christ could come today. Say, well, Pastor, don't you want to wait until after Christmas? I mean, I've been praying. I've been so good this year that I maybe get this thing. Wouldn't it be great? The Lord comes back, you know, like in the evening on Christmas Eve, before you open up your gift, you know. He says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:2. 1 John 3:2 says, now we are the children of God. Are you? And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. We all want to know what we're going to be like when that time comes. But we know this, that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in Christ purifies himself even as Christ is pure. It means you're waiting. It's kind of hard to get caught up into a sexual relationship when you're waiting for Christ. It's pretty hard to get caught up in drugs or violence or the things of this world or apathy if you're waiting for Christ. You can't be sleeping with your girlfriend or sleeping with somebody else's husband or wife and expect that you're living and waiting for the return of Christ. Excuse me, there's something very wrong there. Are you even a believer? The rapture's going to come. Be looking for the blessed hope. Be ready. Why? The Bible teaches Christ could come at any moment. That's the great hope for the Christian. Listen, at the moment of the rapture, when the saints go marching in, the revelation will be from God. He says, I will show you things which must take place after this. God delights in telling us the future. He said it in the Bible. By the way, 1/3 of the Bible is believed to be prophetic in nature. 1/3 of the Bible. Jesus said in John 13:19, now I tell you before it happens that when it does come to pass, you will believe that I am he, or I am the one, or that I am. It's interesting to realize, and I'm just going to paraphrase this. Look at it later. It's a neat study, you Bible students. In John's Gospel, chapter 21, In chapter 21, there's a big debate going on among the apostles. Peter is making an inquiry, and he's talking about John. And he says, as he gives, Jesus is giving the direction and mandate and all for what's to take place. Peter says, well, what about him? And he points to John, and it says this Peter did, pointing to John, because Jesus, because they believed that John would not die until Christ returned. And Jesus turns, in John chapter 21, Jesus turns to Peter and says, it's none of your business that if I will that John should live until I come back or not, it's none of your business. And that saying was propagated, and they twisted it around believing that John would never die until Jesus would return. That's what the early church believed. It was wrong, but that's what the early church believed. Now listen to this. Why would Jesus say that to John and to Peter about John's life? When Peter said, what's up? Jesus says, Peter, mind your own business. It's, if it's my will that Peter that John should see my return or not, it has nothing to do with you. Well, what's interesting about this is who's the human author of the book of Revelation? John. He was caught up in the Spirit to see the coming of the Lord. Could it be that Jesus was cryptically referring to, in John chapter 21, that it would be the Apostle John that would see his return in spirit? John saw it. Be careful how you read the Bible. Every line, every word of detail, the Lord will fulfill. Jesus knew. The hope of the rapture is a practical hope. In Revelation 3, verse 3, we read it earlier. Revelation 3, 3 says, remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know the hour in which I come upon you. The rapture is a message of hope. He warns us, be ready. Second point. Remember, we're only going to the third verse, so we're okay. Verse number 2, when the saints go marching in, found in verse number 2, it will be our entrance into eternity. Question, when will the church, when will you and I see eternity? If we're alive at the rapture, in that moment. When the saints go marching in, it will be our entrance into eternity. And listen, when that happens, we will be changed by the power of God. John says in verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit. That doesn't mean he was Pentecostal. It doesn't mean that he got into some trance. The word means that he was transported by the power of God from that moment on in his observation. What he saw, what he heard, what he experienced was in heaven. He was changed, transformed.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the opening verses of Revelation chapter 4, the apocalyptic visions given to the Apostle John. We'll continue with more of this presentation called When the Saints Go Marching In on tomorrow's broadcast of Real Radio. Now, if you're truly interested in the end times and all that will take place in and around Israel, here's your chance to get the real biblical perspective, especially in how it all relates to what Scripture foretells regarding the ultimate outcome. It's the 2006 Israel and Bible Prophecy Conference. If there's ever a time to be informed, this is it. The three-day event takes place this weekend, August 4th through the 6th, starting Friday morning at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. The 2006 Israel and Bible Prophecy Conference is sponsored by Hope for Today with well-known Israel supporter David Hocking. You'll also hear Chuck Smith, Thomas Ice, Dave Hunt, as well as Pastor Jack and others who are armed with inside information. Visit realradioactive.org for more details or call us at area code 909-393-7100. Looking forward to seeing you there. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.